Over the last few months, we've been submitting a series of freedom of information requests to the council to try and track down some of the documentation that should have been used as part of the due diligence for the Marshall Square development. And what we found is that there seems to be a distinct absence in some areas of some of the documentation that you would expect of a development of this size in particular.
Do you think there's a reason that that documentation is missing, and what kind of things are missing?
Yeah, I think that part of the problem goes back to the tendering process. I think that at that time it was envisaged that the development would actually just be a simple sale. So they would sell the site and the developer would simply go on and build, you know, whatever, hotel, offices, etc. And so there was never any thought given to whether there was a need for example, a big office complex of this size on that site, because the council never thought that they would be taking on the risk. So I think much of the documentation is probably lacking because the process, in effect, was playing catch-up to the change in decision to the lease and sale-back situation that we have with Aviva Investors and News. It's a very different scenario than the one that was expected.
So that means they didn't really properly do a full risk assessment as to what might happen if it doesn't really follow their plan and maybe taxpayers' money has to be used.
Yes, the contract, as we understand and has been accepted, or certainly has been acknowledged in the media, is that Aberdeen City Council, i.e. us as taxpayers, will be taking on any of the risk of under-occupancy of Marshall Square, whereas we share in the profit. So Aviva Investors and News get off scot-free. So they're guaranteed their money over 35 years. We have no such guarantee. The only guarantee that we have is that we have to accept any risk, and that means any financial downfall that there may be.
And like you said to me just earlier, you're worried that there's not even a need for this in the city. You mentioned a few different developments that have kind of been proposed and then fallen away just because they're not needed.
That's right. I mean, we can see several. One of them would be one that's quite close by to the Marshall Square area, and that would be The Point, which is a Dundara development, which was to be offices. They've now changed their minds. They know that they can't lease offices in the city centre. They've acknowledged this, and they've now decided to put in a planning application for change of use, which would be for student accommodation. And we've seen similar difficulties in terms of leasing city centre office space, for example, up at the Capitol, which is at the top end of Union Street, so not that far away. I mean, even without the downturn, there had been a change in the desire, I suppose, to have office space in the city centre as more and more offices have moved out into the suburbs in purpose-built areas such as Prime 4 out to the west of the city. So it's almost like a double whammy. There had already been a movement and a change to outside of the city, as well as now a downturn, which is obviously the need for these offices has fairly well dried up.
So you've had a meeting with Audit Scotland. What were their thoughts on the kind of facts that you presented to them?
Audit Scotland made it clear that what they were doing was listening to us. There wasn't a dialogue. We weren't asking questions of them. So what we were doing was we were providing the sort of supplementary evidence that there had been lack of due process to the evidence that they would be seeing during a normal audit during a normal audit. So they're currently in the process of just finishing off their audit of Aberdeen City Council at the moment. And we have come in and given them our concerns with the evidence from freedom of information requests, of email traffic that has been backwards and forwards with councillors and officials and so on. So how we left it was that we have highlighted areas where we have had extreme concern about lack of due process, and Audit Scotland may well get access to documentation that we haven't been able to get access to. So it doesn't mean to say that some of this documentation may not be around. I don't know why they wouldn't share the fact that it is there, but maybe Audit Scotland will find this. Now, if they don't, then Audit Scotland could then refer this on to the Accounts Commission for Scotland, which is directly reportable to the Scottish Government.
So this is really quite a big move and could see this issue really put in the hands of the Scottish Government.
It's possible. It depends on really on what Audit Scotland find from this and what how they decide to refer it on. I mean, certainly one of the group that was there was Ken McHattie, who's a lawyer CA, and he is well aware of audit processes, and he was pointing out the different processes that we have uncovered to be lacking in what you would normally expect in a development of this size in terms of investment appraisals, business case, marketing reports. All of them seem to be seriously lacking for a development of this size.